If you all just got to sit there and hold little tiny hands, you'd feel the jubilation that I feel just right now. But think of the reading we just heard of David dancing at the ark. That was the point of the first reading. So imagine yourself dancing as you listen to the second reading from the Epistle to the Ephesians. The language is perhaps thicker than you might want to hear on a Sunday morning, but let yourself hear the words like words of the psalm rather than a theological treatise that we're going to unpack. Think of this as poetry. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he has freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he has set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in heaven and on earth. In Christ, we too have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also who have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance through redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord. Blessed, chosen, destined, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, lavished, planned, gathered, inherited, marked, promised, and sealed. These are the verbs, the action words that the author to the letter of Ephesians reminds us of God's love for us. This love that is excessive, tender, and richly abundant for each one of us. This is a love from God, from the very foundations of the world, a love of God's adoption for all of humanity. And it's a lavish love that is lived out across all of the Abrahamic faiths. And my guess is across all people of faith. As a college student, even though I wasn't Jewish, I've never been Jewish, in an effort to embrace the entire community, I was regularly invited and welcomed to their Sabbath meal on Fridays. I've told some of you about this before. Passover, the season that celebrates God saving the Hebrew people in ancient Egypt, was of course the most elaborate of all the meals. The food was overflowing, but what I remember most distinctively was the overflow of community centered around prayers of praise. This was a college community probably like yours that was otherwise fixated on getting the best grades, preparing for the most lucrative jobs, or perhaps fitting in the best, looking the best, getting invited to the most parties. But for an hour, or actually maybe three, because the Passover meal was quite long, the focus changed from an inward, me, me, me-centered vision of the universe to an outward flow of praise, not for self, but for the God who created each and every one of us. The Passover prayer began with the longer version of the prayer that perhaps our reading from Ephesians is based on. The prayer goes, "Blessed are you, our Lord, our God, who makes us holy with your commandments and commands us to light the festival lights. But this prayer, we didn't say it just once. It wasn't as though we prayed at the beginning of the meal and didn't pray again. For every course of the meal, we said a shorter version of the prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. And we said this with every course of the meal. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. These words of thanksgiving and praise were meant not just to center us for this meal, but perhaps so we could take it out into the rest of the world to center not only our college lives, but everything beyond that. This would be the same, similar to the prayer that Roger shared with the children. So I invite you to take an inhale and meditate on, blessed are you. And then exhale and meditate on, O Lord our God. So we're going to do it one more time. So inhale. Blessed are you. And exhale. O Lord our God. I find that these kind of breath prayers can be used with any short passage of scripture, something to meditate on, something to take with us into the otherwise busy parts of life, or the very still parts of life too, when we're just feeling alone and we just need a nugget from God to chew on. In the Christian faith, we believe that God lavishes on us because we are God's adopted children. But what does it mean exactly to be adopted? Adoption in this world, as many of us probably think, is one of the most profound and beautiful expressions of totally giving ourselves to another person and taking on a life on both ends. This is a commitment of total giving of a parent or parents to a child, a commitment to change one's entire life on the benefit of another person who was once a stranger, but now family, now one's total own and responsible for. I think of some friends of ours who adopted a 12-year-old son, who's now a grown man, almost done with college. And I don't think any of the process has been easy, but I would imagine it's never easy to parent a teenager. For this young man who was already 12 when he was adopted, had already lived with a couple of different homes. I can't imagine what it was like to go from all of these different homes into one stable home with some really stable expectations of him. For this young man, he had to become part of this other family while he was already formed as a person. You would say at 12, we're sort of formed as who we are. We change, but the roots of us are already in place. So this young man, he had to come into a place where he believed that he too was planned by God from the foundations of this world, that he was not only adopted by this family, but that he was also adopted by the church where they worshiped, into the community, into something entirely new. That in him, God was creating a whole new thing. That's the message for us too. Perhaps we've been with our biological families our entire lives, or we've traded and been in many different families. Perhaps as an adult, you weren't exactly adopted, but you were taken in by another family who made you food, brought you over for holidays. Or perhaps you have adopted another person, perhaps another person in your building who lives alone. This is us as a family of God relating to one another, all as God's adopted family. This way of adoption is what I believe is God's way of us uniting us across experiences and cultures with one another. This past Thursday, as some of you well know, 10 of us participated in an iftar service. This is a fast-breaking meal for the Muslim season of Ramadan. We were guests at the Institute of Islamic and Turkish Studies in Fairfax. Associate Iman Mehmet and his wife Angela invited us as part of what they believe is their mission to reach out to neighbors. They say it's traditional that you reach out to neighbors, 40 neighbors in each direction, but that's not really possible in this big, crowded area. So they're reaching out to 40 churches and synagogues and other faith groups, 40 miles each way. So you're about 25 miles out. Angela, the imam's wife, took us into the mosque and she explained to us their daily service. You've probably heard this before, but I was particularly taken by the way that they begin every single one of their prayers. I'm going to pronounce this wrong so you can say it with me, and perhaps this is different coming from a Christian church, but their call to prayer, Allahu Akbar, as you'll hear going by mosques and temples, perhaps 5 times a day during their call for prayer. Especially if you go on vacation somewhere else, you'll hear this around the globe. So this Allahu Akbar, I didn't know what it meant. Just I hear it, and it was beautiful coming from mosques in other parts of the world. So she explained that it means God is greater. This is something I could believe in my theology. This is something that I could take on. Then Angela explained that this praise that begins all prayers means that God is greater than everything else. God is greater than the test that I probably just failed, the job that I might be laid off from. God is greater than that very scary diagnosis. God is greater than my worries and anxieties. God is greater than the disasters and the tragedies that hit the world every day. But she also emphasized that by saying that God is greater, it is not ignoring our personal problems or the problems of the world, but it is rather a bold affirmation that God is greater and that God is with us in all of these parts of life. That God never leaves us. We believe that we are adopted as God's children and lavished by God's lavish life in adoption. And in lavishing us with this love, we are equipped for life. And this is an equipping that, I don't know about you, but I mightily need. There are so many times in life when it feels as though perhaps we're just paralyzed for a moment. Don't know what to do. A situation hits, something at home, something at work, something in the news, and we just don't know how to handle it for a moment. Maybe it brings tears that we feel like it just makes us feeling like a mess, or we just want to bury ourselves in that pillow and under the sheets and not come out for a couple of days. God is greater. Together, as they took down the Confederate flag in South Carolina this week, I was again reminded, and I think this has really stuck with us, those 9 people at Emmanuel AME Church that were killed a couple of weeks ago. 9 people that were killed in their house of prayer. 9 people who we share a common bond with as being in the same family of Christ. This has really been heartbreaking, hasn't it? But then the violence hasn't ended, and it wasn't just for those 9. As we well know, there's been so many churches who have been burned down in the last couple of weeks, and some other friends say this has been happening for a long time, or have received threats, bomb threats, and arson threats. A pastor friend of mine expressed, who is in this presbytery, and a pastor in this presbytery, she's African American, that she's worshipped at 5 churches in her life. 3 of those have received bomb threats in the last 3 weeks. 3 out of 5. And then a friend of mine from high school who's a doctor, she's a surgeon. You would think that she would be totally safe. She's also African American in her family. She was the star in our track team, has a beautiful family. She had to take her children out of the nursery at her, She had to take her children out of the nursery at her church because there was a bomb threat in Los Angeles. Could you imagine that? And I'm sure we've experienced things with our friends and our friend groups of things as horrific as that as well. This has been on my heart. What are we going to do about it? This is a church who I've been told always acts on behalf of the vulnerable, not running away from the violence of the cross, but rather allowing ourselves to be changed by God's self-sacrificial love, who took on death that we might have life. This is the greatest gift of God as our adopted parent, this triune God who we can't totally understand or who took on the sins of the world on our behalf. And with this knowledge that we are blessed by God and planned from the foundations of creation, the author of Ephesians makes a radical statement. We began with the action verbs. Now I want you to look at the pronouns. They're all in the plural. Blessed by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ just as he chose us in Christ. He has destined us for adoption. So this is no insular message. As God's adoptive children, we are all united as one in Christ. And we must act as one. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members are of one body, and though many, so it is with Christ. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Our shared hope is that one day all members of the body will be honored. Our practice to honor each other comes from all of our places and faith traditions, and it does not begin with us, but it begins by turning our entire selves over to the presence of God. So will you pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, for you, O God, are greater. As your adopted children, help us each see every part of your creation as your children too, and show us how our actions may bring your way of peace. Amen.